All right, everyone else, let's get our Bibles out. And we're going to continue with our study in anxiety. Anybody have any anxious moments last week? Anybody have any anxious moments? One person. Oh, wow. Who had a problem with anxiety? See? Right? And today I want to talk about the solutions. The solutions to anxiety. And there are two basic categories of solutions for anxiety. And I brought them with me. Solutions for anxiety. And I brought them with me. Here's one. Here's one solution to anxiety. How many are familiar with that one? We have a second solution to anxiety too. Two solutions to anxiety. I wonder which one you pick first. I don't want you to need to say it. You don't need to say it. Maybe it's like this, then this, huh? How many of you know these are two solutions to anxiety? Two. I got two in my hand. That works, but doesn't fix anything. This will work, but it will not what? Fix it. This will what? Fix it. I wonder truly, which one of those of you who suffered with anxiety last week, I wonder which one you picked. I'm just thinking to myself, which one did you go for first? And I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't do this. But what I'm suggesting is you definitely ought to do this. Brothers and sisters, if I have a splinter in my finger and it's hurting me, I can take Tylenol. Can't I, Juanita? I can take Tylenol and make that go away. But did it go away? No. I could take two extra strength Tylenol, and I really truly could maybe get the pain to go away, but as soon as the Tylenol wears off, guess what? I still got the splinter. In fact, the matter is, I might take two more extra strength Tylenol, but when it wears away, what do I got? I still got the splinter. And eventually, I can take Tylenol till the Tylenol doesn't work anymore. And then I got to take what? Whatever to treat the splinter. But eventually, the splinter will get infected. And eventually, the infection will go through my system. And eventually, because I didn't treat the splinter, I might wind up in the hospital on an antibiotic through an intravenous. Right in my vein. Is that true?
Yes.
Because I did not treat the... This treats. This solves. This fixes. Who'd rather fix it than treat it? Anybody want this? The sad part is, anybody want this? Well, here's the interesting thing. I'm going to call on two of you to come up and talk in a minute. And it's going to be recorded. 800 glorious watts of power. In a minute, I'm going to call upon two of you to come up here and talk. Maybe sing. I haven't decided. Who shall it be? I wonder how many are getting anxiety even as I walk. I'm wondering in my heart of hearts how many of you even right now have butterflies. And I know what you're thinking. Pick him! Don't pick! How many have anxiety even now? I wonder how many of you in your anxious moments are saying, I hope he passes one of them out. Did you know that the Professional Golf Association, has banned a heart medication called propranolol. Do you know why? Because it slows the heart rate down. And when a golfer is putting, his hands could shake a little bit. And so you know what they do? They pop a heart pill. And you know what the heart pill does? Slows the heart rate down. Did you know that some people who have to give speeches take a heart pill? Do you know why they take a heart pill, church? To slow their heart rate, what? In the Olympics, did you know that anabolic steroids are outlawed, but so is a heart medication called propranolol? You know why? It gives you a competitive edge. Why? It slows your heart rate down. But you know what else slows your heart rate down? Do you know what else can give you a restful night's sleep? I wonder how many doctor's offices you go into saying you're anxious, you get this. How many know you probably could get this? Today we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what? That. God's Word. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Romans 15, verse 4.
For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope.
You know, the first solution to anxiety is to read God's Word. It's to read God's Word and understand that what has been written for so many people and why it's been recorded is so that you can glean from their experiences. So, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning. Our learning. So that was been written before, that which has been recorded in the Bible has been written for us so that we can learn through patience and comfort. Do you spend time in here other than Sunday morning? Do you really? Do you really do it? Do you go home and you spend time reading the Bible? Do you? I don't need you to answer it, but do you? How many know that when you get your mind off of your anxiety, sometimes your anxiety can go away? Is that true? Those of you that suffer with some anxiety, when your mind is distracted, does some of your anxiety go down? How many say that's true? Well, when you read God's Word, could your mind be distracted off of your situation? It could. So one of the first solutions to anxiety is to read God's Word. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 16 to 17.
When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, even though one sees no sleep day or night, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it.
I wonder how many of us in this room must, by temperament, solve all of your problems.
Yep.
I wonder how many of us in this room today need to solve the problems of the world. I mean, there's just some part of you, there's something inside of you that you need to solve all the problems. You need to right all the wrongs. You need to remove all the imperfections. You need to get it right. Anybody in this room like that? You need to do it. You know, peace of mind does not come from solving all of life's problems. Peace of mind does not come from righting all the wrongs. Peace of mind does not come from getting everything right. Peace of mind comes from being realistic. You need to be realistic that you can't fix everything. Do you understand that there are some things in this world that you cannot fix? There are some things in this world that you think need to be perfect, and they're not going to be perfect. How many of you understand you do not live in a perfect place? How many of you know that you did not marry a perfect person? How many know you don't have a perfect friend? How many know you don't have perfect kids? You don't have perfection. And the reason why you don't have perfect children is because they got your genes in them. How many say amen to that? And how many children say, preach it, Pastor Tom? There's nobody perfect in this place. And some things will not change. And we need to be realistic to accept it. Let's look at Proverbs 19:11.
The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression.
Overlook. There are problems in this world that have no solution. Yeah. There are situations that we must simply live through. The art of being wise is the art of knowing what to overlook. How many have a hard time overlooking things? Thank you, James, for being honest. But you know, the really, truly, the peace of mind comes from people that's able to overlook it. Who here has a need to be perfect? Anybody a perfectionist in this room? Perfectionist, just one, two people? Not three. Four. How many of you guys need to be perfect? How many need to do it and do it again and do it again and do it again until you get it right? How many understand there's just some things that ain't ever going to be right? True? And peace of mind is understanding the difference. Let's turn to Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not only on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths.
How many of you lean on your own understanding from time to time? Whew. I mean, really. Lean on your own understanding from time to time. Somebody hand me a cell phone. Okay, now here's a Samsung Galaxy S4. I've been told that this thing could do a lot of stuff. You know what I've mastered? Hello? I haven't mastered the goodbye part too good yet. Because the goodbye part, you have to like slide the thing over. How many know, life's a problem when you're saying hello, you need to hang up and the screen's black like this. And then you got to push that button down to get the screen come back up again. Then you got to find the red button, push the red button. How many of you ever butt called somebody? I talk to so many. Oh, Shauna's going, yeah, you do. I talk to so many people without talking to them. You know, in the old day, you couldn't put your phone in the back pocket and sit on it. I've been told this thing can do all kind of wonderful things. I ain't got a clue how this works. And I'm supposed to figure out how God works. Really? Really? I mean, how's it possible? And yet, you lean on your own understanding. You look at the situation, and you want to impart who in it? You. You want to use your wisdom and your strength and your understanding, and you want to fix all the problems of the world. But you know what? If you could have fixed them, you wouldn't have them. But you got them, and you know why you got them? Because you can't what? Fix them. How many's got problems in this world? Why do you still have them if you can fix them? Either that or you're a masochist. You love to have problems, so you put upon yourself, right? Oh, I think I'll wake up this morning and have some more problems. It's like that commercial. Why do I feel so good all the time? You can't fix them. Oh, you would have what? Fixed them. Some you can, but some you can't. How many spend a lifetime trying to change somebody else? Come on, let's be real. How many spend a lifetime trying to change somebody else? Well, if that person was just this way, I'd be a lot better. Yep. How many know you're a full-time job? Yes. How many full-time jobs we got in this room? How many know, hey, you want to try to fix somebody, start with yourself. When you get that done, change somebody else. How many know, you ain't got time to change anybody else? Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 12.
Now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need.
One of the keys of having peace of mind is to be flexible. To be flexible. Be willing to bend. Because if you will not bend, you will what? You will break. If you are so concrete in your thinking, if you are not willing to be flexible, what will happen to you? And we'll break. You break. Do you understand that there are things in this world that you cannot change? Do you understand that there are things in this world that just happen? Do you understand that from time to time the needs may be different and you need to be what? Flexible. How many have a hard time with flexibility? How many say, you know what? I planned it this way, and this is the way it has to work. How many are like that in this room? Okay. So what happens when it's not going to work out the way you think it's going to work out? Are you flexible enough to go with the flow?
Yep.
If you're not, what will happen?
Break.
You'll break. You will break. I wonder how many of us function with a day. Anybody have day keepers or Outlook Express? You have to make your calendar. You know, I do this at 9 o'clock, then I do this at 10 o'clock, then I do this at 11 o'clock. What do you mean I'm going to do something? Oh, no, I got time for that. I'm going to be doing this. Who has a life like that? How many people manage your life that way? Must be this and this and this and this and this and this.
Yeah.
Well, how many know that's not the way the world is? That's not the way the world is. You know what my calendar looks like? Organized chaos. Anybody function on organized chaos in this room? Sometimes we have so much anxiety because we don't understand the need to be what? Flexible. You need to be willing to be flexible. There are some things in this world that are just going to happen. And if you can't go with the flow will take you. It's the way that it works. Let's go to Matthew 13:22.
Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful.
I wonder how many of us are distracted by unimportant things. Anybody really get upset about unimportant things? I mean, it's just the little things that get you going. Just real little insignificant things that really don't matter at all. How many bother by unimportant things? I mean, it's just true. It's the little thing. I'm going to tell you why it's the little things that get some people. I'm going to tell you why. Anybody ever heard the saying, the straw that broke the camel's back? How many's ever heard that? The straw that breaks. How many ever had your back broken by the straw? You said, that's it. That's it. That's it, no more, that's it. Do you understand, church, that it's not the straw that broke the camel's back? It's everything else that broke the camel's back. It's everything else that broke the camel's back. I'll explain it to you this way. Suppose you're going under a bridge on the river and somebody drops in a straw and sinks the ship. Was it the straw that sunk the ship?
No.
What was it? It was everything else. You see, what happens, brothers and sisters, is that you are barely skimming through life. You're on a barge called life, and you're skimming through the water, and all that stuff's in the barge, and you're going on down the river, and some water goes in, you take a cup and throw the water out, and you're kind of getting wet from time to time, but you're floating, and then somebody drops in one more thing, and what happens to the barge? Now, what do you think people want to focus on? When they call me up and they say, "Pastor Tom, man, I really need to talk to you, man. I lost it, or you know, my life is just so bad and anxiety is just raging through my body. I just need to talk to somebody." What do you think they always want to talk about? It's the straw, right? You're not going to believe, man, that person looked at me just wrong and I just couldn't take it anymore. That person said this to me and I just unleashed a tirade on that person. I just went off on that person. How many have a life like that? You go, "What? Somebody took my parking space." Do you believe that? I mean, I went into Walmart. I was busy. I was in a hurry. And I went into 20 item aisle with my two items. That lady had 21 items in that basket. I can't believe it. And she tried to say the bananas and the apples are fruit. That's one. And I just lost it. You know why you lost it? It wasn't because somebody had 21 items in a 20 aisle. You lost it because of all the other stuff. And what we focus on every single time is we focus on the little thing. Somebody said something. Somebody did something. Somebody looked. Somebody said. And we're always focusing on what? The little thing. What you need to do is focus on getting rid of what? The stuff in your boat. Get rid of all the other stuff. And what would a word be to you then? Whatever. Water off a duck. How many understand that? How many got stuff in your boat? How many got like a... How many, man, you go home and get it because you forget it, right? "Oh, I got to go get my stuff." It's like the guy that was arrested because he was in traffic and he was inching along construction. How many hate traffic? You hate it. Well, you hate it. You hate it. And you're inching along, right? And he looks in his mirror and up comes a guy on the berm of the road. How many hate that when that happens to you, right? And that guy's going up the berm of the road. He's passing everybody. And you're looking and there's the arrow that says, get over, right? And you're looking in the mirror and that guy's racing up the berm and he's getting to that arrow and he knows you're the next one there and you got to stop and let that guy in. How many say, "He ain't getting in on my turn"? "Oh, that guy ain't getting in on my turn. There ain't no way I'm letting that guy in. I sat all this traffic, and he just come on up down that berm, and he thinks he's just going to ease in on me. Doesn't he know how important I am? Doesn't he understand who I am? If he understood the importance of me, he wouldn't want to squeeze in here. I hope nobody gives him a turn. I hope he's here till 12 o'clock tonight." How many have an attitude like that? Do you understand that's an attitude? What would it cost you to let the guy in? How much time? Really, how much time out of your important day would it take to stop your car and let the guy in? I'm serious. Now, how much minutes would that take out of your day to stop the car and let the guy in? Two, three seconds. Two to three. What? Seconds. Seconds. "Oh, ain't no way he's getting in on me." Why? Why? Because I've been miserable sitting in this traffic. And I want to impart some misery on him. In Cleveland, Ohio, that very thing happened. And the guy doesn't want to let him in. How many hate when they start inching in on you? How many understand this scenario, right? And you know you're going to have to stop or you're going to hit him. Big insurance thing you want to do, right? So you let him in. Well, it lets him in. This guy said, "I can't believe it. I wasn't going to do it." And he inched on me. Oh, this is not happening. He gets to the stop sign. And the guy that instant turned around and went. You know, he went. How many can feel that going from like down here? The anger. How many can feel the anger? Just. Now he's going to wave and smile at me. It was bad enough when he instant. Now he's going to wave and smile at me. Oh, this is not going to happen. So he got to the stop sign and pulled out a gun and went bang and shot him in the face and killed him. Shot him in the face and killed him. And as a raiment, he said to the guy, why did you shoot him in the face? You know what he said? Because he
smiled
at me. Oh, I know none of you would ever be that angry. Or would you? Oh, I know you wouldn't shoot him in the face. But you might shoot him with a word or two. Wouldn't you? Maybe you might want to shoot him with a gesture or two. Maybe you want to shoot something at him to let him know how important you are. How many feel that kind of anxiety, right? Letting go, letting go. Matthew 6:34.
Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
How many know you don't have to worry about tomorrow? You got to get through today.
Yeah.
Right? A very good friend of mine called me on the phone and he said to me, do you know what's going to happen on September the 24th? I said, no. Well, on September the 24th, this big thing could be happening. It could be the end of the world as we know it, or something like that. September the 24th, they got this thing going on in the world on September the 24th. Hey, have you been paying attention to it? And I told my friend, no. Well, you know, you better watch this because it's going to be, you know, a really big deal on the 24th. And I said to my friend, dude, this is only September the 5th. I don't know if I got the 6th. I'm really just worried about getting through today. How many say amen to that? I ain't got time to be worrying about what's going on around me. I just got to get through today. How many's got enough problems for today? And Scripture says, why are you anxious about tomorrow? You need just to be taken care of what?
Today.
Get through today. How many's got enough stuff today to do already? Really? Scripture says what? Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. How many raised kids in this room? How many raised kids? Awesome. And as I look out amongst you, there's nobody, I don't see anybody independently wealthy except for Juanita. Didn't you hit that number? I played the lottery for yesterday. No, I didn't. How many in this room are just hardworking people just trying to get by? Right? That's just true, right? And how many of us raise kids? How many raise kids just trying to get by? All right. How many of you ever, truly now, you ever sat at the kitchen table and there in front of you was a gas bill and a rent or a mortgage? How many ever did that? And you're looking at it. You're going, which one am I going to have to pay? How many did that? And you're looking at them, right? You're looking at them. There's the gas bill and there's the rent or the mortgage. You're looking at them. And you're looking at your checkbook and you're looking at these two. And you're going, the math doesn't add up. How many's ever been in that situation? And you're looking at it going, the math doesn't add up. Then the phone rings. And then the phone rings, and guess what? There's another one. How many's ever been in that situation? And you're saying to yourself, I can't do this. I can't do this. And you're looking at this, right? And then the kid comes in and says, Ma, can I go to the school picnic? And you're looking at this. How many's ever been in that situation? You're going, you want to go what? The school picnic? And how many feel the anxiety and the anger coming up from inside?
Yes.
And you start saying, how can I do this? I can't do this. I can't do this. And some people get angry at God, right? How many's ever been in that situation one time? How many know it worked out?
Yeah.
Somehow it worked out. How many raised up your kids? And all of that worrying about it, guess what, James? It worked out somehow. How many's ever got a surprise check in the mail? You're going, where did that come from? How many ever got a phone call and say, hey, we read your meter wrong? How many's ever been in that situation? How many been in a situation when you ever, in one time in your life, they owed you money? How many's ever had that situation? When, whoa, we made a mistake. Guess what? We owe you money. Did you thank God for that? Did you get on your knees and you thank Him for that? So many people point their finger at God and say, where were you? So many people will call me on the phone every day where I go to work. Pastor Tom, I can't believe God let this happen to me. Well, what did He have happen to you? I was in this accident in the parking lot, and now I'm going to have to call my insurance company. I can't believe that God allowed this to happen to me. Oh, so God did that? Well, He could have prevented it. Oh, I see. So how many times did you get in an accident all the rest of this year? Well, that's my first one. Oh, so 364 days you didn't have an accident. Did you thank Him? Did you get on your knees and thank Him? Or you're just going to give blame Him? It's the truth. You ought to thank Him for the good days then if you're going to blame Him for the bad ones. Somebody say amen for that. It's true. It's true. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13.
Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everything and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Learn to be content. I wonder how much anxiety I'd be in if I took number 10 and the pharmacy was closed. I wonder if I took number 10 and the pharmacy was closed and I couldn't get 11. I wonder how much anxiety I'd be in if I forgot to get it filled this weekend. How many feel some anxiety if that was the case for you? The pharmacy's closed. And I can't get my anxiety medicine. What am I going to do? Well, here's the good news. This ain't never closed. Unless you close it. Unless you close it. You know what the best translation of the Bible is, brothers and sisters? Let me ask you. Let me give you some multiple choices, okay? I'll give you some multiple choices. The best translation of the Bible. I'll give you some multiple choices. King James, the New International Version, the New Standard Version, Contemporary English Version. What's the best translation of the Bible? What do you guys think? Best translation. Mark?
All of the above.
All of the above. Here's the best translation of the Bible. Are you ready? I'm going to get some cards and letters. That's okay. The best translation of the Bible is the one that's open. The best translation of the Bible is what, Lynn? The one that's open. What good's a King James if it's shut? What good's a NIV if it's shut? Kelly? The best translation of the Bible is what, church? The one that's open. That will solve a lot of problems. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And the good news about what I've been carrying around here. No, it's propanolol. It's just his medication. It's not anti-anxiety medication. I wonder how many of us could solve anxiety by being in that a little more. Thank you for being honest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity, for the unbelievable, awesome opportunity to go to the great physician anytime that we want to. Lord, we have to stop leaning on our understanding. We need to start leaning on your understanding. Lord, this world has a lot of stuff with it that we are never going to be able to fix. That's okay. Lord, there are people in our lives that sometimes bothers us. But Lord, that's okay. Because we're in theirs to make a difference. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come to you anytime that we want, day or night, night or day, and we can spend time with your word. And Lord, you know what? We need to be a lot more content with what we got and not be so concerned with what we don't. And all of God's people said, amen.